Hello and welcome to our program. We're here with 2 Timothy, lesson number 5. We've said before, chapter 1 tells us what to think, what to be in chapter 2, what to know in chapter 3, and what we need to do in chapter 4. As we get into this lesson, we're going to talk about strength for the battle. Paul the Apostle said in the end of this little book, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He fought a good fight, he said, and he did. But he said in 2 Timothy 4:17, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." What a tremendous testimony we have in the Word of God. Stop and think about the fact that Paul the Apostle didn't have that. He didn't have the whole complete Bible like we have today. But he said, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Paul the Apostle was brought into this world for a purpose. He found that purpose, and he had a hard life following the will of God. However, he's glad that he did it now, some 2,000 years later, and 2 million years later from now, he'll be glad that he stood and did what was right. But he did it in the power of the Lord. He said, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." So we get into verse number 2. It says, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now, he said to him, "The things which ye have heard." Now, specifically, he's referring to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And for us, we also have the book of Titus. In those three books, we have the word "things." It occurs 32 times. He said, "The things that thou hast heard of me," he said, "commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So our responsibility as pastors is to take those things in these three books, which we call pastoral epistles, and we are to teach them and to teach them without apology. Now, we are told to commit them to faithful men. That word "commit" has been translated "set before" 9 times. Set these things before faithful men. Well, are there any faithful men around anymore? There's not very many. However, we find that word has been translated 9 times, believing, or one form of believing or another, 9 different times. So he's saying here, commit, set before them the things that you have heard, and set them before people who believe, and whether they respond or whether they don't is not our responsibility. This verse really helped me to keep from getting discouraged, because you preach your heart out and people won't listen to you. You can think about that as a parent. You can think about that as a pastor. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:24, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith. We are helpers to your joy. By faith ye stand." So all we can do is, you know, we can't make them drink. We can just give them what the Bible says. And Paul said, "We have no dominion over your faith, but we're here to be helpers to your joy." You get in 1 Corinthians, he talked about the subject of tongues. And if you study that, he went for three chapters, which is all one paragraph in the Greek. And what he said was, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." He went on for three chapters, and then he said, "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still." All he can do is give him the Word of God, and then they'll have to answer for what they do or don't do with it. In verses 3 and 4, he said to that pastor, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, a good soldier. Good is having the qualities required for a particular role. You can be a good soldier, you can be a not-so-good soldier. It's just totally up to us. But he says, if you're going to be a good soldier, you better learn how to handle the things in this world today. This is a very common portion of Scripture in Ephesians 3. He says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and the list goes on, listing those parts of that armor. But notice that the number one thing on that list is truth. If we don't come up with the truth and the whole counsel of God, then the rest really doesn't matter. I mean, it's a waste if we're not going to preach the truth. And so the apostasy today is coming in like a flood. We need to preach the truth about what is going on today. Now we go to running the race. He said in verse number 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. That's very important. We're not going to get that crown that the Bible talks for pastors unless we strive lawfully. We better figure out what that is. Then he talks about planting the seeds in 2 Timothy 2:6. The husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, laboring. What is laboring? Is it going out there and knocking on 3,000 doors? It's important to go out and visit and to win lost people to the Lord. But notice what it says here in God's church manual for the pastor. It says to let the elder or the pastor that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word of God and doctrine. We seem to get the idea today that we just need to double the attendance every year. I remember going to those hyped up so-called soul-winning meetings, and all they talked about was numbers, numbers, numbers. You have to baptize 200 a year. Make that your goal. You don't find that in the Bible. We need to be very honest about getting out there and witnessing to lost people. But the Bible says here, the pastor that should be counted worthy double of honor, especially they who labor in the word of God and doctrine. I remember Jack Hiles preaching one time in one of his pastor's conferences that he had. He was ridiculing the deeper life Christians. And that's about when I began to turn away from that nonsense. What are we supposed to be, shallow life Christians? We need to give our head a shake here and understand what we've been swallowing here has not been the truth from the Word of God. He says to Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. To consider is to think carefully about something, typically before making a decision. And so he says, think. We have a great day for the cause of Jesus Christ when we start doing our own thinking. And then we think so as to make a decision. What am I going to do about what I'm hearing today? What am I going to do about what I hear next Sunday? What am I going to do as a pastor when I hear about what the Bible says about how things ought to be done in the local church? Think about it, make a decision. And then he said, the Lord give thee understanding. Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, 2 Timothy tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what is happening today. So we have in Proverbs evil men that do not understand. And we're living today when evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and they will deceive and be deceived. We're living in that situation today. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul said, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. What things? The things that I say, he said. The things I've been talking to you about, Timothy. He's not writing him just, you know, because he hasn't got anything to do while he sits in this dungeon. Meditate on these things and give thyself partly to them. No, give thyself wholly to them. 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul said, consider what I say. Think about the warfare of the soldier. Think about the discipline demanded for the athlete and the patience of toiling for the farmer. Think about these things. There's more to being a faithful pastor than having 3 meetings a week down at the church. He said, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. All things in 2 Timothy 4:5, in all things endure affliction. in Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now, Jesus said in John 16, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. And so we're without excuse. We have the Holy Spirit, and he will guide us into all truth. And as I've said before, all truth is all truth. What is the truth about what kind of music we should listen to? What is the truth about separation? What is the truth about any of these issues we bury our heads in the sand today? And or at best, we just say, well, this is what my friend thinks, so I want to be his friend. So I got to get along with my buddy, so I'll just go along with what he says. And so in verses 8 and 9, he's saying here, if you're going to do what Jesus says to do, you're going to be considered an evildoer. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. He says, I suffer all these things because I promote Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to learn what that means in the days that are coming. This world has changed this year like it has never changed before. This whole entire world has been shut down with this so-called COVID-19 thing, and nothing will ever be as it was. And if the Lord does not step in, we're going to find out what it means to suffer trouble as an evildoer if we promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to find that out in the very next, very near future. 2 Timothy 2:10, he said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, I've got to mention this here, the elect's sake. The elect. Now, listen to what he said here, that they may also obtain salvation. Well, I thought they were elected to salvation. What's he praying about them for? What's he going through all this persecution for if they've already been elected to salvation? Well, they haven't. In the Bible, we talk, God calls Israel mine elect. He says here, Paul says in verse 9, he was not referring to people God had elected to be saved in comparison to those who he brought into this world to send to hell, as Calvinism teaches and those who follow it. It's heresy, that's what that is. God didn't bring anybody into this world with the intent of sending anybody to hell. That is an outright heretic. That is heresy. That goes against the entire character of God. How can we be so stupid to believe something like that? Paul wanted to see Jewish people saved. He talked about elect. He said, Israel, my elect. In Romans 9, he said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, for Israel's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Once again, why would he be saying, oh, I sure hope they obtain salvation if they were elected to salvation? It doesn't get much crazier than believing that stuff. Paul's attitude towards his enemy, Jesus said, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And Paul not only endured all things that Israel, the people of Israel, were bringing against him, but he loved them and he prayed for them, and he gave us the attitude that we ought to have towards our enemies. He wanted his greatest enemies to also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus. Paul is instructing the pastor concerning what his attitude should be toward those who cause trouble in the local churches. We need to do what he did, pray for them and love them. In verse 11, he said, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, what we have here is a picture of our temporary trials. These verses tie in with verse 8 and the focus on our position in Christ as being dead with him, that we might live with him. The trials of leadership in the church are only temporary. We need to keep our focus on the big picture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." In verse 14, he says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Paul was referring to the Jews who were causing problems in the church that Timothy pastored. In Acts 15, Paul mentioned those that trouble you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. One reason the local church at Ephesus ended up in ruins was because of all the striving that went on among the members. It was to this group that Paul said, "No, let no corrupt or worthless communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers," Ephesians 4 and 29. In 1 Philippians 1, 4, he said, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions." Philippians 1, 27, he said that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in Hebrews 10, he tells the church members that they need to be exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, we have a very familiar verse here. "It study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Probably the most ignored verse in the Bible. It is not by chance that this verse immediately follows the command that we are not to be striving about words of no profit to the hearers. Our studying as pastors is so that we will be approved unto God, not to be approved unto people and not to impress people. Well, we're going to leave it here. We'll pick it up in lesson number 6 in our next lesson. Be sure and be with us for that lesson.